Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 59 of the Panelcast. This is Brian.
And this is AJ. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that's been going on. It's been a couple weeks since we've sat down and talked to you guys, so we're going to try and play catch-up. We've got the Comic-Con schedule that came out. We're going to be talking about The Last Airbender, some comic books that we've read, lots of news. We'll also be bringing you a live report from the Anime Expo, as well as a bunch of other stuff. So all that and more in this episode, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brandi Ossett, Reiki Master Teacher and High Priestess, and also author of The Goddess Guide. Please visit my website at brandiossett.com for information on all things spiritual and mythological.
Hey everybody, welcome back. So to start things off, we're going to go ahead and spit out a couple of new news items we got going on. So Brian, go ahead.
Well, the first one I've got here is that it's another one of those celebrity comic stories. Adam Jones of Tool is launching a new comic book series that... Again, this is something I don't really know how I feel about it. I've always had kind of mixed feelings about celebrities getting in on the comic book racket. On the one hand, I mean, I don't really mind so much if they have, you know, an actual passion to want to tell stories or, you know, explore new formats, something like that. But there's been a few instances where it seems like they're just jumping on the bandwagon because comic books are the kind of becoming the popular thing right now.
Right.
You know, for instance, like, what's his name from Fallout Boy in their comics? They just seem to just kind of want to jump on it as sort of like a something to promote their comic versus, I forget his name, Gerard Way. That, you know, has a very obvious passion for comic books and for the medium.
Yeah, but at the same time, with Adam Jones, he's an exceptional artist. I mean,
that is true.
He helped Green Jelly with their costumes. He received a Grammy Award for the record packaging for 10,000 Days. He did the makeup layout for Schism and Parabola, the videos. You know, he shoots photography. He draws his own comics. So, you know, there's a difference there.
That's true. He is an established artist, and so I think in that case, it probably, I mean, I'll still have to see what the end product is, but, you know, if, I guess basically just the fact that he already, you know, is sort of involved in the art field kind of lends a little bit more to that, because then it shows that he's doing it because he wants to contribute something rather than take something from
right.
The medium of comics.
Well, I think our major bitch in that discussion is that, you know, and I agree with you on that aspect, in that it sucks when people just use their fame to, you know, try and get into comics so that they can make more money. Whereas people that, like Gabriel Way, like you said, who have obvious love for comic books are just trying to get into comic books and write comic books, you know. And have the skill set and the background to do so. So in this case, I think Adam Jones being an artist and stuff, and he obviously loves comic books because he's been drawing them for a while. His own comic book. He's just I don't know if he's so much using his name to get into it. He's just using the opportunity to finally publish his stuff. Now, whether if it's good or not, that remains to be seen. But I think in this case, we can give him a pass as far as like venting about it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I guess I should also mention, too, with other people, other celebrities getting in on the comic book field, what's his name, LeVar Burton? He's also got a comic book series coming out.
Jordy?
Yeah. Jordy LaForge wrote a comic book. I don't know how this one's going to come out. I mean, on the one hand, he does have a little bit of nerd cred with Star Trek and all that, and so, I mean... why not do a comic? I mean, everybody else in Star Trek is, so. But on the other hand, I don't know. I've read the premise for the comic, and it just seems a little kind of bleh.
Right.
So
I don't know. He was on the Reading Rainbow.
That's true. But it doesn't mean he can write a comic book.
Yeah,
so
it doesn't mean at all.
Yeah. Well, again, I'll read it and see how it comes out. But it just I wasn't impressed with the premise of it, at least.
Well, we'll see what happens.
So what news stories you got?
For me, I wanted to talk about real quick. One of the things that I went down to Four Color Fantasies yesterday to have a talk with Chris just to hang out and stuff. And one of the things that we were venting about basically was Devil's Due Comic Publishing Company. There is leaving Diamond Distributors. For those of you who are familiar with Devil's Due, they put out a lot of you know, the indie comics and stuff, and they're pretty well known. They're big out there. They're not Image big, but they're a step above like Red 5 Comics big.
Right.
And for them to leave Diamond Distributors and go into who they're going with Haven, I think it's a bad call. You know, so their quote is, for almost over a year, Devil's Due has been in an unwinnable situation wherein Diamond garnishes our revenues to pay back returns and fees it claims it's owed from 2008 and 2009, making it impossible for them to keep up with payments to talent, printers, and other expenses while maintaining a stable business. Now that's from Josh Blaylock from Devil's Due. He's quoted as saying, we've exhausted every resource to get on track with a primary focus on catching up with talent payments first and foremost. But when Diamond controls the money flow, that becomes impossible. Which is true. I mean, we've all known that Diamond is the has a monopoly in comic book distribution services right now. So it's like the majors and the minors. I think we've discussed this before, where to get into Diamond makes you feel like you've made the game. You know, you're brought up to the big time. And Devil's Due is taking a step back because of the amount of choking that Diamond is doing. Unfortunately, though, choosing to go to Haven Comics distributor, I think is a bad call for them, because Haven is notoriously known for fucking over the little guy. Just in dealing with them, experience in dealing with them through Hightower Comics and talking with John, you know, they don't promote, they charge shipping for comic stores, and hardly any comic book stores go through them. Chris had told me that he doesn't even go through Haven Comics because of, you know, they have to pay for shipping through them. So it's not, right, not conducive for him to order through them. So I fear that Devil's Due may be choosing the wrong path to go that way. But at the same time, with the age of digital comic books, they are going through graphic.ly, iVerse, Comixology, as well as the PlayStation 3 stuff. The PlayStation Network, they are going through that, so maybe they're hoping to pick up revenue that way. But if they want to get any type of hardcore distribution or advertisement for their stuff, they're going to have to take the money that they're saving by not going through Diamond and spend it on advertising and getting their stuff out there. Now, they have one of my favorite comic books on their titles being Hackslash. I love that title. And it just saddens me to know that I'm going to have to go somewhere else to try and find it from here on out. So that's the big news. But with the digital stuff, who knows? A lot of comic books may be thinking, comic companies may be thinking about taking the same route, because now they can just distribute stuff independently or go through Comixology or drive through comics, you know, and it might be cheaper for them to do so. So who knows? Brian?
Well, let's see. We've got another story here that seems that all of the nerds on the internet got pissed off when they unveiled Wonder Woman's new costume. And
see, I don't understand that. I thought that, I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is, I thought it was kind of weird. I mean, so many of the characters nowadays are getting kind of reinvented and getting makeovers and getting costume changes, and Wonder Woman has been pretty much the same all along. There haven't really been a whole lot of changes to her. They've added some backstory and stuff to the character, but, you know, I mean, she's pretty much always looked the same, and so it's, I don't know, I guess maybe there's just nerds out there that are afraid of change.
Which I don't understand. Again, how many costume changes has Wolverine gone through? How many costume changes has Spider-Man gone through? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. I think
Iron Man, all these people. I mean, right. they all change.
But again, we are talking Marvel. Now let's talk DC. How many costume changes has Batman gone through? How many costume changes has the Blue Beetle gone through? You know, I mean, the only real staple of consistent costuming is Superman and Wonder Woman. But at the same time, even Superman has worn different costumes throughout the time. So I don't understand what the main complaint is. Are they bitching because she finally is wearing some clothes?
Yeah, essentially, that's what it is.
Which is ridiculous.
Most of the complaints I've seen.
You know, I understand that she dresses the way she does because she's a proud Amazonian woman, and she's proud in that matter that she can wear those clothes. And who's going to tell her to put some fucking clothes on because she's Wonder Woman, right? But at the same time, she does have to adapt and change. So I don't get it. I mean, look at Thor, dude. How many times has that man changed costume? So, I don't know. I think what they should do, the first issue has already come out, issue number 600 of Wonder Woman, and it's sold out already. It's going to the second printing. It came out today, and it's already sold out. So, obviously, whatever bitches and complaints that they had about it weren't valid because they went out and bought the comic anyway.
Well, it always seems with the internet, you know, you can get any sort of vocal minority that gets a lot of attention, even though most people don't feel that way. So, yeah, I'm sure there's probably a lot of people out there that really, you know, don't give a crap what Wonder Woman wears as long as the comic is good.
Right. I mean, she's still going to be easily identifiable. No one can mistake Wonder Woman.
Right. I mean, so what if she wears a jacket and pants? I mean, it's more sensible anyway.
I mean, think about it, okay? And I'm not trying to be sexist in any way, shape, or form here, guys, but think about it. How many times do we see women change their clothes and change their look? I mean, I know a lot of females who won't wear the same outfit twice. So for her to have taken 50 years to finally change her clothes, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand the complaint here.
Yeah, I guess that's one way you could look at it. But it seems like it's another one of those non-issue things that gets blown way out of proportion.
Right.
So what else you got for us?
One of my favorite comic book writers has switched over and become exclusive to DC Comics, that writer being Jeff Lemire. I know I've talked about his comics many a times here. He is the author of The Nobody and also of Sweet Tooth, both amazing comic books. I think he's a fantastic writer. And he has just become exclusive to DC Comics. He will be writing The Atom, which is a new special coming out under the DC title of Brightest Day. So, he is quoted as saying, as a lifelong DC comics fan, I am incredibly excited to be part of both the DCU and of Vertigo moving forward. Sweet Tooth has been a labor of love for me, and I couldn't have done it without the amazing support of Karen Berger and everyone at Vertigo. So, the opportunity to not only continue Gus and Shepard's saga, but also to take on the new Superboy Monthly and the adventures of Ray Palmer the Atom is a dream come true for me. So I'm very excited to see that he's getting into the big time, even though Vertigo is like a sub. I don't know what I was trying to say. a subdivision, there you go, of DC. To see him get stepped up to the Atom is an awesome feat. Though I am curious on how he's going to write a superhero. For those of you who've read The Nobody, which again I've talked about on the show before, is basically about the Invisible Man who's not really exploitive of his powers. He's trying to hide out. Sweet Tooth is about, you know, post-apocalyptic stuff, about a kid just trying to survive. He has no special powers except that he has antlers, and he's just trying to survive. So to see how he writes a superhero, especially one like Ray Palmer the Atom, who's pretty much, he's like DC's Wolverine in that he's almost on every single team. He's all over the place, and you can see him all over, you know.
Right.
Will be, I don't know, maybe a change in what he's normally used to writing, but I am excited to see it. So, congratulations, Jeff. Hopefully it doesn't cause your trade paperbacks to go up in price. but, you know, good luck. So, Brian?
A little bit of a depressing story here. If anybody's been following the news, a while back, the artist who used to work on Thundercats by the name of Stephen Perry was found murdered, I guess, in a trash bin in a motel in Tampa. And the Florida police have finally just decided to charge somebody in the murder. And I guess it was his former roommate. Let's see, what's the guy's name on here? James William Davis is the name of the man that's being charged with first-degree murder. I guess they originally held him for some unrelated charges, but were able to pin it on him.
That's too bad.
All right. Well, have you got anything else for us?
Not in this segment. Why don't we go ahead and take a break?
Hey, this is John from the High Tower Comics. I count everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
And we're back, and we're going to finish up our news segment here. We've got a few more things to talk about. I know everybody's been dying to hear this story. The post office is releasing a new set of comic-themed postage stamps, and once again, they seem to be returning back to the 1940s with their choices. The new comic book stamps that they're going to be putting out are for Beetle Bailey, Archie, Garfield, Dennis the Menace, and Calvin and Hobbes, which is actually, I think, the only modern one in there, really.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
And Calvin and Hobbes, I actually do enjoy that cartoon. The other ones, not so much. Maybe just because of the time that I grew up in.
Yeah, I'm a big, huge fan of Calvin and Hobbes as well, so I don't know how excited you can get over stamps, but, you know.
Some people do.
Yeah, I mean, there are some stamp collectors out there that are big on the whole deal, and that's cool. I totally respect them for it. But, I mean, for me, it's not a big deal, though I will not cry if I see a ZKS stamp. So I guess I shouldn't talk too badly about it.
So, yeah, we'll just look forward then to the ZKS stamps when those come out.
Right.
Because I'm sure we're going to become culturally relevant at some point.
I mean, if Max Brooks likes us, why can't anybody else like us?
I'm sure that they consulted Max Brooks when they were selecting their stamps.
We're talking so much shit about ourselves, it's sad.
Yeah, well, you gotta laugh at yourself every now and then.
I laugh at myself every day, and then I cry.
What else have you got for us?
One thing that I just recently discovered that I'm super pissed at myself for not having realized before. Today is Thursday, tomorrow will be Friday, and Friday is the uncovering of a new show on the Sci-Fi Channel called Haven. Haven is based on The Colorado Kid, a short novel done by Stephen King. And this is actually going to be a TV series. So I'm kind of amped about it. I'm surprised I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm a little pissed at myself.
Probably because we've been spending too much time focusing on Walking Dead TV show.
Right? So here's what Wiki has on The Colorado Kid. It's a mystery novel written by Stephen King. The book was issued in a one paperback only edition by a specialty crime and mystery publishing house. The third person narrative concerns the investigation of a body of an unidentified man found on a tiny island off the coast of Maine. Lacking any identification or obvious clues, the case reaches nothing but a repetitive dead ends. So I'm kind of excited about it. I'm a huge Stephen King fan.
Yeah, and that's the only one of his books that I haven't read yet.
Right, I haven't even picked it up yet. I've been meaning to. It's only 179 pages, for Christ's sake.
Right.
But I just haven't had a chance to. And now it's a TV series on Sci-Fi. Hopefully they don't fuck it up. But I'm pretty amped about it. And it starts this Friday, so, you know, I can't wait to see it. I'll be definitely glued to the TV on that one. Another show that Sci-Fi is putting out that I am kind of hesitant about is called Alphas. Alphas follows a team of ordinary citizens who possess extraordinary and unusual mental skills. Using physical feats and uniquely advanced mental abilities, the unlikely team takes the law into its own hands and uncovers what the CIA, FBI, and Pentagon have not been able or willing to solve. It sounds kind of cool, but they're already doing that with a TV show called Rubicon. So I don't know why they're trying to do it here. Now it is.
I'm just hoping it's not going to end up like that show. What is that? Mutant X or whatever that show was called?
Yeah, but this one isn't really about mutants. It's just, you know, advanced, like a little bit smarter than the average bear. So it's not like, you know, they have superpowers or special abilities or anything. It's just, I don't know. It's being written by Zach Penn and Michael Carnow. Zach Penn, as many of you guys know, is Kumar from Harold and Kumar.
Right, right.
He's been in House. He's an established writer. He took a break from acting and writing so he can work with Obama, President Obama, on his campaigns and some political stuff. So he's coming back to TV. So I'm curious about this. Sci-fi does do some hit and misses. I wouldn't watch any of their crappy sci-fi made movies, but Stargate franchise is one of my favorite franchises out there, and a bunch of other stuff that they put out. Eureka, I'm a huge fan of. You know, and again with Haven, you know, I'll be watching them anyway, so I might as well check this out. So hopefully they don't strike out on this. Brian?
Yeah, I'll give it a watch and see, but moving on. Apparently, the comic book store that they've got going for the iTunes, I guess specifically for the iPad, was recently scammed. Apparently, there's the comic book store the comic book vendor, I should say, in general, that got hit for this was some company called My Company, which should be kind of fishy right there to begin with, you know.
Right.
But apparently what he was doing was charging people extra money on their credit cards. So essentially, after got their credit card data, forcing them to buy more comics to inflate his sales to get himself more recognition on there. So
that's people a little illegal already, there, buddy.
Yeah, it is a little illegal. And so now people are starting to speculate as to how much more draconian iTunes is going to get in regards to sales. They've already are pretty restrictive on a lot of other things, and so I'm sure when something like this happens, it just kind of gives Apple more reason to clamp down their iron fist.
Right.
And I think that's about it all I've got for the news.
I think we're pretty good on the news as well. So why don't we go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll start doing other stuff.
Hi, this is Justin White of Necrosapien Press and artist of ZKS, the Zombie Kill Squad, and you should come check out ForbiddenPanel.com for all your latest geek needs.
And we're back. Did you guys miss us? Because we missed you.
I missed them. I missed them all.
I know. Now, we know that you're getting bombarded by a lot of news stuff, because it has been a few weeks since we've been doing the panel cast, and I totally blame Brian for that. So, having said that,
I'm the company scapegoat.
You are. You're still the scapegoat. But while we have not been working, somebody else has. As many of you that have been on the website have noticed, we have a new game reviewer in Andrea Ems. I don't know, sweetheart. I'm butchering your name, and I apologize for it. But she has been kicking ass in the game reviews. She recently went to E3. Kept us up to date with that. She went to the Anime Expo this past week and managed to grab some interviews as well as reviews and stuff. So what we're going to do is go ahead and bleed into her being on the floor of Anime Expo, the little recordings that she did and the interviews that she got while she was there. So, I think I've rambled on enough and can't speak anymore. So why don't we go ahead and bleed into that, and we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Andrea and my friend Justin, my trusty companion that we go to every expo possible. And we're here at the Anime Expo 2010, and it is Saturday. It's the third day of the event, and we're pretty excited. We're going to be talking about things all day, and right now we just wanted to do a little welcome. So, Justin, welcome.
Thank you very much. We're pretty excited. We don't really know what to expect. Not as prepared as we were for E3, but it should still be pretty fun, and I'm sure we'll find something to talk about or write about, and there's some really great outfits that we've seen, taking lots of pictures, and can't wait to see what's inside.
So apparently it doesn't start until 10, where Justin and I thought it started at 9, which is okay, so we just had to get some food, and we're enjoying the pre-show, so to speak, with all the people from different shows, like Naruto, is that how I say it?
Naruto.
See, I've seen a lot of these shows, Fullmetal Alchemist and Inuyasha, but I am such a noob when it comes to this stuff, so forgive me all you Uber fans. But it's been pretty exciting and fun. So we're going to try and nab somebody who's trying to be like this instant celebrity because people are taking pictures left and right. You should see the costumes. And I wonder, a lot of them are kind of handmade, but you can tell by this one girl walking by in blue and pink, looking like she's got a unicorn hat on. But some are really, really professionally done, like a Boba Fett that we found, which I'll be posting a picture on that in my blog.
Some really good Katamari cosplayers right now that I'm enjoying.
So there's so many people around here who are just desperate to get pictures with these great characters that they love from all the anime shows and movies and such. And these are not paid actors that are doing this. They're just here for themselves. Hey, can I ask you a quick question? Now you're just doing this for yourself and for the fun of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get into dressing up and becoming a character for these things?
The first time we went to Anime Expo, actually, I dressed up. And after I saw everybody dressing up, me and my friends decided, why don't we try it one year?
Yeah.
And then just realized, what was that?
How many times have you been to Anime Expo?
Since 96.
Wow.
I think I missed a couple years in between, but...
If you don't mind, what's your name and who are you?
My name is Chris, and I'm cosplaying Sokka from Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, my God. What did you think of Airbender? Did you see it?
The live-action
movie? Live-action?
Thumbs down.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I know. I love the... It's hard when you're such a fan of the series.
There's so many great moments that you could tell there was something there, but
yeah.
He just didn't get there.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of peaks and then nothing.
Like a framework for a better movie. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's a rough draft.
To do a redo. Like
yeah.
So now, what other characters have you been at the different anime expos?
I've been Vega from Street Fighter.
That's awesome.
Vaughn from Escaflowne. My memory's bad.
No, it's cool. It's cool. Now, did you buy this, make this costume?
I made this.
You made this.
Yeah.
Really? It's impressive.
It's a lot of money and time.
Now, what is your just goal for doing this?
Just to see if I could do it. Like, I'd actually never made this many props before.
Yeah.
So it was my goal.
It's a great costume.
Yeah.
You have a lot of fun. So all you do, do you take time to enjoy the expo or just sit here and
Sometimes it's hard, though. Like, it's hard to get from point A to B when everybody
wants to get this show. You're an instant celebrity now.
I know. Sometimes I have to be in the civilian clothes if I want to do something.
So now you know what it's like for the real celebrities.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, thanks for talking to us.
No
Appreciate
problem.
It. Okay, well, I regret not having my recorder on when it was dead silent, and then when they finally let the masses go forward, it was a loud anarchy of explosion of excitement from the people, and people are running up the stairs in their little costumes and their big feet to try and get into anime. It's...
So right now we are in line waiting to get a signature from the creator of Wolf's Rain. Wolf's Rain is an anime series by the same studio that did Cowboy Bebop. So we're pretty excited. They only gave out 50 of these wall scrolls because I guess the creator's limited on time. So we're one of 50 that are going to be getting a signature. It's pretty exciting. And can't wait to see the rest of the show.
We just came from the... Hey, so we just came from the Funky Monkey, which is really neat. Fun little graphic design merchandise stuff of this cute little monkey in all different poses. And there's some fun little cards to tell you who your personality is, apparently. I am optimistic, and Justin is loyal. And one of the great things is Zoe, who is a creator of this. She is 19 years old, and she's about to finish and graduate UCLA. She's quite the prodigy, and she's done all the design work herself. And she's going to be taking a PhD, and she's been doing this, the Funky Monkey, at www.youbuyitinc.com for 3 years, and she's got a sister who is also doing another. What does your sister do?
She's in the artist alley. She's like an illustrator. She does all of her own drawings and stuff. She has two brands, Sweet Bunny and Uki. Yeah, so she's right over there. C6.
Gotcha, cool. Thank you. That was Zoe. So we're going to be going on to maybe check out her sister's stuff.
All right,
so now we are standing by a booth selling a bunch of anime series and movies, a lot of great stuff, Appleseed, Blue Seed, it's all alphabetical order, obviously, and I'm wishing I had a lot more money, but we've also got a great hentai section. It says Sorry No Yayoi, which is sad for me.
Why is that sad for you?
Because that is the gay themes. Anime. Well, not just anime, it's more of a pornographic anime. But the hentai's fine. I'm sure it'll serve somebody. We've got The Elven Bride, a fairy tale for adults only.
So he married an elf.
It's 18 plus, so better be old enough to watch. Guy, Double Target.
Oh, nice. She's completely naked.
Yeah, well, she's got a jacket on.
And boots.
And boots.
So she's covered. Enough.
Oh, she's naked on the back, though.
And tied up, even. So.
Yeah, it looks, I'm sure it's great storyline. a lot of character development. Legend of Lion Flair. Nice.
She looks very troubled. And
she's wearing her hands.
Yes.
On her chest.
Yes. The beautiful blue hair.
Yeah. So
blue eyes.
It looks like there's a lot. That,
something for everyone.
Yeah, something for everyone. Kids and adults.
So if you get sick of your Round Chicka Bow Wow live action porn, you can come to the anime and get penta porn.
What we are.
So I'm with Dalen Smith.
Dalen Smith.
What's the name of your company?
Glitch Gear Apparel. And we're based out of Orlando, Florida.
Are you really? I was born in Florida, and before I moved here, I lived in Orlando for like 9 years. That's awesome. Yay! All right, like you
got
already.
Connection.
Dalen. I know, right?
Connection.
Absolutely. So how long? Tell me about your business. How'd you get into it? How long you been in doing it?
Well, we got into it just sitting around playing video games. It kind of coincided with something my brother had with another. He had a company before. It was apparel. So another apparel plus sitting around playing games. That one didn't work out.
Yeah.
So it kind of just scooted along and said, hey, we playing video games. Why don't we have a video game clothing on? So we all game. We got like a little crew that's real close. They game. I mean, we don't get the game as much now because it's like a lot of business,
right.
No time.
I understand.
No sleep. Oh, yeah.
Play.
We've been doing it 3 years.
Okay.
And we started grassroots. You know, we built up our collection. We have licensed with Microsoft, Valve, and we're working on some other stuff that's in the works here. And we're just, you know, we're trying to build up the line, give gamers some color,
yeah,
and put some zazz or put some spunk into the apparel part of gaming. You know?
Oh, I like that. It's a good tagline. Can I use some spunk?
Use the spunk? Well, our tagline is "Wear the games."
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of how we're going, and we get a good response everywhere we go. It's amazing. You know, everybody loves the stuff. They love something, you know, authentic, you know, genuine and a little different, not just copying. So, you know, a lot of vendors like us to come to the shows because that's our apparel is more genuine and we make our own stuff. So
yeah, who does all the graphics and stuff outside?
Everything is done inside.
Gotcha.
You know, so we had, like I said, we had that crew. We kind of come up with a little tagline or a little spin on something.
Yeah.
My brother does the design. And his name is Quinn Clark.
And you're based in Florida?
Orlando,
Florida. Yeah, you're in L.A., so like...
Well, this is our... This year has been our expansion to the West Coast.
Are you an online-based store?
Online-based store. You can check us out at www.glitchgear.com. And we're also on Facebook, you know, so you can look us up there and add us as a friend or whatever.
Michelle.
Yeah, that's right. So...
But we also try to do giveaways for online or
definitely
anything.
Into giveaways. We can work with y'all to make it happen.
It is 10 past 1 p.m. and we've been here since 9 a.m. even though the thing started at 10. And we are wrapping up making our long journey back to the car. And we have some final thoughts. So I'm going to give it to Justin for the moment.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the show. There wasn't... It definitely wasn't E3, but it was fun to come as a fan and, you know, embrace kind of
all the great shows that you like to watch and share it with fellow fans. There's some great outfits, and it's really, to me, the biggest part of the show is just the fans and their awesome cosplay.
Constantly one-upping each other with the same characters. I mean, we've seen several of the same Pikachus, and some of them look exactly like it, and some of them look like they just walked out of their pajamas. It's quite fun.
Yeah, and so to me, that's kind of what Anime Expo is all about. It's not really, unlike E3, they're not trying to show off things that you haven't seen yet. It's embracing the fact that you share this interest in something that is probably already out, and getting to enjoy that with other people who you might not actually get to see in the real world, you know. You don't feel like such an outcast because you're around other outcasts.
Well, and also too, it's like Halloween all over again, but you get an opportunity. I mean, there's some people who these costumes are store-bought and actually probably bought here because there are several vendors at this anime mall, which is what I would equate it to, that they could buy their costumes and say, oh, I'm going to do this next year. And so many made their own and spent so much money, like this guy Chris we talked to, who was Saka. Again.
Soka in the movie.
Thank you. Newbie right here. I'm a gamer, not an anime, unfortunately, but I'm working on it. But it's so interesting how they spend so much money for an event like this just to show off. And it's cool because there's such a camaraderie around here. And like Justin said, it's nobody is a outcast. Everyone is just accepted. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I went, hey, you know, guitar lady, turn around. I didn't know who she was, but I wanted a picture with her. She looks so cool.
Yeah, you don't even have to know who the character is to enjoy just the costume and appreciate the time and money that they must have put into it and just the passion that they must have to wear that in public. And it's great. It's why these kind of conventions exist. And
I think it works.
Yeah, I think, and I'm glad that we came, but I don't know that I would have paid. I don't know. Being an anime fan, I love anime, obviously. This, to me, is equated to maybe going to Suncoast or somewhere and just going and buying the movies, you know. Maybe you don't have all the half-naked or, you know,
booth babes.
Or animals. Or whatever, you know. Everyone's dress is something different. But it was fun. And it's definitely for the fans. It's something that I definitely appreciate and had a great time.
Likewise, this is Andrea and Justin signing off for anime, and we'll be at Comic-Con in 2 weeks. Oh my gosh, OMG. And we'll talk more. So, later. Later.
All right, and we're back, and you were just listening to Andrea at the, what was it, the Anime Expo?
Anime Expo.
And, you know, I gotta say, she was actually a great find, like, on Justin level there.
Right.
In terms of, you know, an addition to the team, because she's bringing a lot to the video game reviews, and she really has that sort of interview thing down that I haven't been able to get. I don't know, she just has this sort of, like, air of kind of professional quality about her in terms of the way that she addresses things.
Right.
It just, like, it seems like she really kind of gets that interview format.
Yeah, well, you know, it's got to be her background. She does work for LA Campus Magazine, so she's used to talking to people about this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny that we keep finding people that are way more talented than we are, but I'm going to milk it and say thanks, guys.
Yeah, you know, a shame that I haven't met her yet, but I would just like to say that I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. She did a great job with the Anime Expo. She managed to talk to a lot of people in costume and just get a lot of, you know, honest and decent opinions, and we really appreciate that. For more on her Anime Expo as well as photos to accompany that, make sure you go to the website and check out Andrea's Gaming Expo, Gaming Lounge. She's up there at least twice a week posting new stuff. And is just doing a great job. So, yeah. With that, why don't we go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll have some more stuff to talk about.
Hey, how's it going? This is Derek from Pulp Fiction and Long Beach, the world's biggest selection of graphic novels and comic books. Check out our website at www.cheapgraphicnovels.com, and you get all your graphic novels at 40% off cover price. How much?
45% off
cover. Even better than 40%. And we can ship it to you anywhere in the United States. Again, check out www.cheapgraphicnovels.com, or if you're in Long Beach, California, check us out at Pulp Fiction.
1742 Clark Avenue, Long Beach, California.
We got manga, we got anime, we got back issue comics, current comics. We'll put you on the pull list, give you a good discount. Graphic novels, figures, toys, the whole shebang. Check us out, because we rock. Pulp Fiction and cheapgraphicnovels.com. Booyah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Panelcast. We should probably give you a heads up. This is going to be kind of an extended episode. Not that you're not used to that with us. I swear. Every time we come into this thing, we want to do it for 30 minutes. Like, we just want to give you a quick 30-minute show and then walk out the door. But we just can't shut up. So,
no, not at all.
Not in the slightest. So in this segment, we're going to talk about some of the comic books we've been reading. So, Brian, you first.
I actually have not read a lot, but one of the things that I did do was to read the read some comics by our new friend Symantink. This was called Mythoi. I think I read it digitally, like a digital version, and so I'm not sure if I ended up reading just like everything that was there, or if this was part of one trade.
Well, basically, what they're doing is that they're offering their comics digitally for free. So you're able to go to their website and read all the individual comics. And then what they're doing is taking those individual stories, collecting them into a trade, and then selling those as a trade.
Oh, okay. So, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole bunch of different storylines there, and they weren't necessarily connected to each other. But one of the things that I wanted to say about it is that this is kind of the fantasy comic that I've been looking for. I've been looking for a good sort of fantasy type comic, and this one, not only does it give you some of that straight sort of D&D style fantasy, but it also presents some interesting twists on just different types of characters from mythology, such as Hercules and a few other characters that were in there. They also, I remember they correctly, there were some stories about like some African mythology. Essentially, what they did with these series of stories is they took just sort of like iconic mythological figures and or stories and gave sort of an interesting twist on it. And I've kind of stayed away for quite a while from reading fantasy comics just because I've kind of gotten sick of the way that most of them are done. I know a lot of people really love, God, what is that one? ElfQuest or something like that. And I don't know. It just, I never really got into that. And there's a lot of other stuff, like fantasy things that are out there that just seem like they're along that same lines, you know. It's like everybody's trying too hard to make their fantasy different, and they end up kind of sacrificing other things. I mean, not really to talk bad on anybody that likes ElfQuest or Elf whatever that comic is called.
I think it's ElfQuest, and you're burning a lot of our fans right now.
I know it's popular, and it's like, you know, a beloved comic and everything. It didn't really do anything for me. Like, it just, I don't know. I wanted like a fantasy comic that was something I think a little more recognizable to me.
And Mythoi does that for you?
Yeah. Yeah, it just like it reading the comics kind of reminded me a lot of some of the D&D adventures that I've had throughout my life. that's what I want.
You make it sound like you were on these adventures yourself, like you and your sword and your shield were like on these adventures.
Well, not necessarily. It that's what I want to get out of reading a fantasy comic, because I want that same feeling that I get when I role play, and a lot of them don't really do that for me. It's not that they're bad. It just
Right. Well,
I can't get into them.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, that's basically what it comes down to. So I would recommend everybody, you know, go on to Semantink.com, right? Semantink.com and read the comics. And if you like them, buy the trade.
Yeah. They're good friends of ours. It's written by James Ninnis and drawn by Jed Soriano. Again, you can pick up their comics for free digitally on their website, Semantink.com. And they are collaborating it into or collecting it into a trade, which they'll be available to sell. So you should check it out.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So how about you? What have you been reading?
Man, you know what? Part of my job here at Forbidden Panel is that to read and review comic books, which I love. I mean, you can't argue with that kind of a job. Unfortunately, right. Sometimes because of that, I have to read a lot of crap. I have to read a lot of the Marvel comics that are out there. I have to read all the DC runs out there. And I have to tell you that they are really disappointing me. I'm getting tired of the whole... We've said this before, the whole suits and capes thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting played out for me, and I'm worn out on it. So while I read them, because I grew up with them, and I have to read them so I can talk to you guys about it, I really look for indie comics that stand out. Not just because we are an independent comic book publisher and that we have our own book, but just because I really enjoy something out of the norm. You know, it's one of the reasons why I got behind Kirkman. Even though he's like big time now and mainstream, I like knowing that I was there with him from the ground floor in reading some of his indie stuff before he got big. Brian Michael Bendis is as big as he is in the Marvel Universe. It writing everywhere. Powers is still one of my favorite comic books because it's a creator-owned comic book and he put it out himself and it's just phenomenal. So it's times like that where I'm looking for books of that nature, of the indie nature, that stand out. And I think I may have found it. Yesterday, like literally yesterday, our gaming reviewer, Andrea, sweetie, I'm fucking up your name and I'm sorry, sent me over a link to this comic book company that had talked to her and asked her to review their comic. So she shot it over to me since I am the reviewer. And I took a look at this and I'm really impressed by this comic book. It's called Moriarty, The Dark Chamber. It is put out by Danger Cat, which you can find at DangerCat.com. Moriarty is basically... it follows the misadventures of Professor James Moriarty, who, as we all know, is the arch-nemesis of Sherlock Holmes. It takes place 20 years after the death of Sherlock Holmes, and Moriarty is basically trying to come back. He wants to be known as the number one criminal in the world. So this comic book covers that. It is written by Daniel Corey, with art done by Anthony... I don't want to even try with your last name. graphics done by Dave Lanfear, and inspired by characters created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. I love the art of this book just right off the bat. The cover just grabs me right away. It's really dark, a little bit morbid, but it's really good. The writing is great as well. It's a story that you can get behind and are interested in. Where League of Extraordinary Gentlemen kind of failed in the Moriarty thing, where they had him be like four different characters, this one just picks up and lets him be who he is. And you get a real in-depth look into the character Moriarty and kind of like where he wants to go in life and with his criminal career.
So is this comic more along the lines of like a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen type of homage, or is it more... centered in the actual universe of Sherlock Holmes?
It's kind of in the universe of Sherlock Holmes. Basically, here's the release they put out for it. It is in the dawn of World War I, and Sherlock Holmes has been dead for 20 years. Professor James Moriarty is a lost man when he is approached by MI5 and blackmailed into finding Holmes' long-lost brother, Mycroft. What at first appears to be a routine case leads to a web of intrigue that involves a psychic box, a woman from his past, and a new villain that threatens to be greater than he ever was.
Okay, so it kind of expands on the Sherlock Holmes
mythos
then.
And it's done very well. I really, really like this. If you haven't had a chance to, please pick it up. I don't know if it's available in stores or not, but you can purchase it online through their website at dangercat.com. They also have another book that they had put out previously called Prophet. I haven't had a chance to look at that, but I'm looking forward to it. You know what? You can pick it up at Drive-Thru Comics as well as Comics Express, which is the company that published that prints our comic books. Head over to our website right now for BenPanel.com. You'll be able to see the YouTube trailer that they made for the comic book, as well as links to their website and images that they put out. They're also doing a great job and a great donation job. They're looking for anybody's help, anybody that can help out by donating to their comics so that they can continue to publish. We will be doing the same thing. Great job, guys, on doing this. It's one of those random finds. Like I said, literally, I found out about this yesterday and read it last night. And I liked it so much that I've invited them to come out to the Roseville Comic Show with us this Sunday to bring a couple books with them and try and sell there. You know, I really want to help these guys out because I think they have what it takes to do it. And I think you guys should check it out. So that's all I had for comics that I've read. Brian, did you have anything else?
No, I've had another slow week this week.
Awesome. So why don't we go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back with more stuff.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
We're back, and I know you guys missed us.
Yes, I know I didn't.
Yeah, well. Oh, fuck.
Brian has lost his train of thought, everybody. This is awesome, and we're going to keep recording for it. Come on, Brian, what you got?
I'm sorry, I'm just waiting to get underailed here.
Awesome. While he's underailing, I have some shit I want to talk about. I'll start with the short stuff first. First off, for those of you who are like me, big Call of Duty fans playing Modern Warfare 2, you've been aware that the new map pack has come out. There's like two map packs that have come out, and while I like the new adventures that we can go on, the new map packs and everything, places and locales and all that, I am unhappy with the fact that they're $15 a pop. I don't know. I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, they're charging way too much for the download content on everything.
Yeah,
really.
It's almost ridiculous. Now, where they fail in that is that, you know, again with the $15, but when Battlefield Bad Company came out, and we were playing that, they kept releasing map packs, but they were like $10. You know, they're really cheap and affordable, and, you know, you can justify it. Oh, $10, well, no big deal.
Even that to me, I mean, I could see paying for an expansion to a game where they're adding a lot of new content, like they did with, you know, like Oblivion or something, where they actually adding a whole lot more stuff.
Right. Well, that's the same with Battlefield. When their packs came out, it was not only maps, but new weapons and new vehicles and so on and so forth. So it was like you're getting, you know, an enhancement to the game that you were already playing. Whereas with Modern Warfare 2, they're just giving you map packs and no real weapons or vehicles or anything, because you can't really drive vehicles in the game anyway, but no real weapons or classes or anything like that. It's just more maps. The only difference is that they give you more don't know what they're called. More game modes. That's what it is. So like in this latest map pack, they took away Capture the Flag, but they combined them under different labels and different gameplay modes. So it's like, I don't know. I'm not digging too heavy on it. I do like the map packs, though. They seem to be more camper driven, more sniper driven and stuff. But I don't know. I like the map packs in that they add a little bit more life into a game that's already been out for almost a year, you know, so it makes you want to continue playing onto it in different levels and new skill sets. But I'm not hearing $15 a pop for it. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the game itself was, what, $40, $50, so this is a second map pack. It's already $30 in the hole. I at this point, I might as well have bought another game, you know? Yeah. So it just doesn't make any sense to me to be offered at this high. Now, granted, I totally appreciate and respect the fact of how many man hours have gone into programming and creating these map packs, you know, with a payroll and all that stuff, which you have to pay, and the amount of detail and computer skills and hours and man hours it took to create these map levels. I totally respect and appreciate that, but you need to offer it at a better rate. $15 is too much. $10 I can justify. $15, yeah, it's only $5, but come on, that's $5. You know?
I still kind of just don't really like the whole paying for extra content thing. I mean, like with the Valve games that I have on Steam, Portal, and all of that, I can get expansions and mods for those games that have just as many man hours placed into them, you know, that are designed just as well, except they're free.
Right, but those aren't console games. Those are PC games.
Right. No, I understand that. You know, I mean, it's a little more difficult to do something like that for console, but I still think that, you know, it's kind of a shitty thing. Yeah. But even Valve themselves have released updates and things for their games that don't cost anything. Like, you know, all of the new content they're adding to Team Fortress 2, I didn't have to pay for any of that.
Right. But do you pay to play online?
Nope.
Yeah, well, see, there you go.
I bought the game, and that's it. That was the end of it.
PlayStation, take the hint. Actually, it's not even PlayStation. It's Call of Duty at this point.
The same thing happens on the Xbox.
Right, it's the same thing on the Xbox and every other thing. You know, you have to pay for these updates.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe we're being petty and bitching about something that really shouldn't be bitching about, but in this economy, in this day and age, $5, $15, it goes a long way, you know? So, I don't know, maybe be more cognizant of that fact. And if you're going to release map packs for these things, please, PlayStation and Microsoft, y'all need to get on the same page. I'm not hearing that Xbox has had these map packs for 3 weeks, and we just got ours yesterday. You know, you guys need to be on the same page, because by now, nobody wants to play it. We've all gone out and bought Xboxes and kept up to date. Get on the same page, and I know you guys are competitors, but who care? At some point in time, you got to stop caring about yourselves and start caring about the gamers. Because
that would be nice.
Yeah, because it's us that fuel your economy, that fuel your paychecks. So give a shit about us and maybe work together at some point in time, because this is ridiculous. Though I am excited to see Call of Duty Black Ops. The trailer came out for E3, and that game just looks phenomenal. I will be all over it when it comes out. Something else I wanted to talk about that came out last week was the Twilight craze. Oh, yeah. My God, people. I don't understand. Maybe because I'm not a 45-year-old woman or an 18-year-old girl. Maybe that's where I'm feeling.
Water.
Or, yeah. But I just don't get the Twilight phase. Here's a sad thing. And you know what? Having seen the movie now, not Twilight, but the movie I'm about to talk about, maybe I understand why they made this decision, but I'm not hearing that Twilight Eclipse gets the IMAX when The Last Airbender didn't. You know, they came out one day apart from each other. Last Airbender was, I was given the impression that it would be an epic movie and deserves to be IMAX, especially with the visuals and stuff that they're having, but instead they decided to go with Twilight because that's where the money would come in from with all the people, all the fans of Twilight that would go see
it. What is in Twilight that needs to be seen in 3D? That's what I'm trying to understand right
Apparently,
now.
Apparently, Tyler Lautner and Robert Pattinson need to be seen in 3D.
So, his giant forehead?
And glitter.
I don't...
Just imagine glitter on the IMAX screen.
Like, I'm trying to think about what could there possibly be that needs to be seen in 3D?
I don't know. Werewolves jumping at you? Like, really crap-looking werewolves jumping at you? I mean, I don't know. While we're on the subject, though, I want to talk about The Last Airbender. We went out and saw this. Me and Lynn and a couple of other friends went to go see The Last Airbender. Midnight showing last week. And what a big steaming pile of crap. First off, let me just say that I've never watched the anime. I'm not a fan of the anime. It's not saying that it's not good or anything. I just never got around to watching it. It seemed a little too kid for me. It just wasn't my thing. I like things like Black Lagoon and Cowboy Bebop, you know, stuff in that vein. So I just never got into The Last Airbender never even bothered to start. But I just saw that this movie looked pretty badass. I mean, the trailers looked awesome. So, and it's M. Night, and while some people have no faith in M. Night, I still like his style. I like M. Night's style. I just do. I don't know why. I thought he did a phenomenal job with Unbreakable. Unbreakable has to be one of the best comic book movies ever.
No, I'll give him that. I liked his first two movies, and then ever since then, he just continuously disappoints me to the point where I don't care anymore.
Everybody says that, though. That's random. And when, in retrospect, you know, I do agree on some level. Signs, hello, why is an alien race going to attack a planet that's 90% water when they're allergic to water?
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense to me. Up until that point, though, I thought it was awesome. I thought they did a great job with the acting. It was very character-driven the whole nine. Unbreakable, again, one of the best comic book movies you'll ever see, period.
Then I didn't care for The Village. I didn't care for Lady in the Water.
The Village was retarded once you found out what it was really about. It was, like, stupid. But up until that point, again, I was down for it. It's one of those movies, he has this big thing where he likes to change what you think the movie is going to be about in the middle of it.
And then the movie ends up suffering because of it. And then his latest crap fest that came out, whatever. Oh, God, what was that called? The Happening?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
No, that was not happening for me at all.
It was not happening.
No.
The Happening was not happening. You can quote Brian on that one. And I agree with you. I was all up in that movie until they outran the wind. Like, I just couldn't get it. But up until that point,
I couldn't even get behind it just from the get-go. The acting in that was just so wooden and uninteresting. I ended up just having it in the background and doing other things because I couldn't sit and watch it. Right. I just couldn't.
Right. You know, and I admit, I was intrigued by the trailers for it. You know, as violent and hard-hitting as the deaths were and all that stuff, I wanted to check it out. Of course, I was disappointed in it, but, you know, I walk into an M. Night movie knowing what I'm going to get. You know, and based on that, I decide whether or not I want to pay for it at the theater or rent it on video. You know, so, but I know what I'm going to get. So I walked into The Last Airbender curious as to how his style would have to completely change. We already, you know, everybody already knows about The Last Airbender, being especially since they had to change the title from Avatar because of the Avatar movie. But we already knew about the story, so we knew he couldn't M. Night it, basically. But he did. He managed to M. Night it. His signature is all over this movie. Which is sad, because I thought the movie was really cool. I thought it had a lot of potential. And there were parts of it where, like, you know, they were just amazing. Unfortunately, he M. Nighted it so bad that it makes it so few and far between. Just like all his other movies, you know? One of the things I hated about Shutter Island, for example, I know it's not one of his movies, but one of the things I hate about Shutter Island is you walked into that movie thinking it was going to be a horror movie, and you walked out really realizing it nothing about horror at all. And it's the same with the Village. When you walked in to go see The Village, you thought it was going to be a horror monster movie, when instead it was some idiot in costume, right? But it was the journey up until that point that kind of messes you up. Some parts were good, some parts were just completely shit. And that's Airbender. You know, you walk into this. First off, from my understanding, they mispronounced all the characters' names. It's not Aang, it's Aang was the main character's name, but they mispronounced it throughout the whole thing. You would have thought that M. Night would have watched the cartoon and got his name pronounced right.
Unless somebody just, you know, gave him the script.
Unless they really, really wanted to Americanize it, which I don't understand why, since it was put out by, the original animation was put out by Nickelodeon, and it's an American anime anyway. So why they would want to do that doesn't make any sense to me. The set pieces, sometimes the locations were really nice and pretty. Other times, and I know I've oversaid this, but other times it just looked like they took the Fred Claus set and decided to make use of it. It just looked very fake. When they were doing their kata to do the bending, beautiful. It looked amazing. But in actuality and reality, if I see some guy going into a 30-second kata martial arts routine before he can throw fire at me, I'm going to run up and stab him. Or I'm going to do an Indiana Jones and just shoot him while he's in the middle of that stuff. There's no way I'm going to sit there and go, ooh, look, he's going to throw fire at me. Why don't I just sit here and wait until he gets it ready to do? It just didn't make sense to me. The acting was horrendous. These guys, they didn't even bother phoning it in. Like, some characters were over the top, some characters were not enough, and you put both of those together in the same scene, and it just makes for ridiculous acting. It's just no good. Now, the visuals, the special effects, phenomenal. I thought he did a great job. The fire throwing, the earth bending, the wind bending, everything was just awesome. The penultimate scene where, and you've seen this in the trailer, so I'm not giving it away, where Aang rises up the big wall of water and he's all glowing with his arrows and tattoos and stuff. Beautiful. It was beautifully done. And in that scene, that's when you get M. Night's classic music uproar. You know, like his, during the big reveals, you get that escalation of music score going up and up and rising up, and it makes you, you know, kind of get the goosebumpy stuff. And that scene was awesome. I thought he did a great job. Unfortunately, everything else lacked so hard, it was no point in going to go see the movie. I was really upset. I was really happy that I didn't pay for 3D. Instead, I snuck into the 3D and didn't have to pay for the prices. But at the same time, there's no point in seeing it in 3D. I think nowadays, with this oversaturation of 3D in all the movies that are coming out, I think they're doing that because they just want to be able to show it in 1080p.
Maybe. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because a lot of these films, really, they don't need any sort of a 3D treatment. And just because you have,
and they're not getting the 3D treatment, which is sad. You're not getting that pop out of the screen feel, unlike you did with in Valentine's Day, the remake of Valentine's Day, you know, where the pic was coming out of the screen and blood is, it looks like it's splattering on you. Or even Avatar, where it looks like the water's dropping all over you. You know, it feels like it's right there. It was made for 3D. These movies that are getting edited into 3D aren't really doing anything that stands out for it. It just makes it feel like it's in a high quality of visuals, you know? Like
yeah,
I said.
I mean, unless you're going to actually go and shoot some of your scenes with those 3D cameras to have the 3D effect for your film, what's the point of doing it in 3D?
It doesn't make any sense to me. It's, like I said, it feels like they just want to be able to shoot it in a higher quality, higher definition of video. Like 1080p or even higher, whatever the next step up is.
Yeah, just show it in IMAX. Don't do it in 3D.
Yeah, and even then, don't shoot it in IMAX unless you shoot it with an IMAX camera.
Right.
Because you're not really doing much with it. So yeah, there you have it with my last Airbender rant.
Well, at least it wasn't done by Michael Bay, right?
Right. Well, you know what? If he would have done it, I think I would have liked it more because there would have been more explosions. It would have been more epic. This movie was not epic. It gave you that impression from the trailer. That first trailer that we saw, you remember, Brian. You see Aang sitting in there, and he's blowing out candles with his powers. It pans right outside the cave. You see all these people climbing up the wall, all these ships out in the water. It looked like it was going to be a badass epic movie. By the way, that scene, nowhere near in the movie at all.
Oh, yeah, of course. All those kick-ass, you know, scenes that they show in the trailers rarely ever actually end up in the movie.
That wasn't even in the movie at all. It was just designed to show for a trailer, basically. That was a trailer they filmed separately from the movie. But from that trailer, you got this feeling of epic proportions, that it was going to be just this huge-ass movie. It's 90 minutes long. The frickin' movie was the trailers were longer than this movie. It was so disappointing. Anyway, I'm done. I'm done ranting about it.
Okay, so I take it you didn't like the film.
Now, which is sad, because I think part of me did. Part of me really liked the film, but the other part of me was like, fuck this film. You know? And a lot of people out there are bashing it left and right. They're saying that it's this decade's Battlefield Earth. And they've already taken M. Night's next film project, they've already removed his name from the title. Like, they flat out told him, like, you can still make the movie, but we don't want your name on the title because we don't want you associated with it. You are now a bad black mark on Hollywood, which is sad.
He's kind of been on a steady decline, though, at least in my opinion. So,
I respect what he's trying to do. I really do. But the problem is that he's too formulaic. You know, if you're gonna have a formula, make it something that's not gonna ruin anything. Michael Bay's formula, blow shit up. You know it's gonna blow shit up when you walk in there, and that's fine because it doesn't really take away from the story or anything that's going on. Steven Spielberg, you're gonna find this family happy big ass movie, you know. George Lucas is going to be, he's going to ruin your childhood. You expect these when you walk in the theater. See, M. Night now is like, you know there's going to be a twist in it, so what's the point of seeing it or getting behind the story up until that point? You know? Because for 80 minutes, you're wrapped in the story, and when for 10 minutes at the end, it's ruined. So he needs to knock that shit off. Find another staple, find another shtick, and go with that. So, I'm done. I'm done venting. I'm done.
Okay. All right, we'll move on then.
Yeah. Well, actually, why don't we just go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll have some more stuff.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games, and yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce. And
hey, everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. I know we're going on like so many segments and the show's going long, but we warned you. We so warned you.
You should know by now, really.
Yeah, we just like to talk. We're silly. In this segment, we wanted to talk about some little updates we got going on. Comic-Con schedule for Thursday and Wednesday night are up. So if you plan on going to the San Diego Comic-Con, you should go check out the website, sandiegocomiccon.org or whatever it is. And, you know, start making plans for your Comic-Con already. It promises to be one of the biggest Comic-Cons so far that they've run, which is just ridiculous to me because it's huge already. So you may want to pre-plan now before you actually get there and get bombarded. Also, leave yourself some time for, you know, being sidetracked because that's going to happen at Comic-Con. Yeah, it's sad. I'm sad this year because Brian will not be able to make it. Neither will Ryan.
Yeah, I'm not really too happy about it myself, and I'm still trying to figure out a way that I can get there. I don't know if maybe we'll start some sort of a donation or something.
Tell you, if you start walking now, you'll make it in time.
I don't know. I think it would probably take, well, it's what? Still got a couple weeks left?
2 weeks.
Before it starts?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, most likely I'd probably end up getting murdered in my first or second day out, so. Maybe I could hitchhike it.
Maybe. We'll know. But yeah, so not going to have Brian around. It'll be Justin and myself wandering around the floor. We're going to try and do a meetup, a hangout that's Saturday night at Hodad's. So if you want to come and hang out with us that night, that'll be awesome. We'll also be at, for preview night, we're going to go over to the New York Strip Club and have dinner, which is our tradition.
Damn you.
So if you want to come join us for dinner at any point in time, we'd love to have you and see you. If you just want to do a meetup, whatever. If you come up to us and say that you know who we are, we'll give you free ZKS stickers. So come find us. Speaking of ZKS,
And if somebody can bring me lunch from the strip club, I will reward you handsomely.
No, you won't.
Shh.
Told you. So, yeah, come up to us and we'll give you free stickers. And speaking of ZKS, we have reinitiated the ZKS pinup contest. I know a lot of you are wondering, well, like, it's already been a month. Why aren't we seeing anything about it? Here's the problem. A lot of people were saying that they had submissions for us. Unfortunately, they only had them. They didn't have them digitally. So because they just, you know, they don't know how to draw digitally or it's just not their forte.
Right.
And, you know,
or they just hadn't had a chance to scan in or something.
You know, and we totally understand that, and that's completely cool. So what we're doing is now extending the deadline to August 12th. If you have a pinup you would like to submit to us that is not digital, you can mail it to us, P.O. Box 692, Redlands, California, 92373. If you're in the Rancho Cucamonga area, you can drop it off at Four Color Fantasies. Chris is well aware of what's going to happen and ready to collect them. Or you can just come find us at any of the cons that we're at. We're at a lot of conventions, believe it or not, and submit it there. We're making it completely easy for you to submit your work and get it into us. We want everybody – we want to – this is our chance to help you out as well as you helping us out because you'll be able to have your work finally printed in a comic book and being sold on a comic book store as well as helping us out because we love fan art, especially of our stuff. So – you know, this is a great opportunity for you to get that work out to us. So for more information, check out our website, or you can check out the Facebook page that we have set up for it, the event page that we have set up for it. Everybody is welcome to join, even if you aren't that skilled at drawing. If you want a stick figure, a ZKS, or a zombie person, awesome, we'll take it. And it'll be in the comic book, I swear. So yeah, there you have it. We will be at the Roseville Comics and Collectors Show this Sunday. It's a cool little show done during the Roseville Flea Market. I personally like the show. I've said many a times that this is our home, the Roseville Show, because we have a big space and just, I don't know. It's a lot of fun to be there. So if you're in the area, please come out and visit us. It's $8 to get in, but that's for the whole flea market. You just come on down to our section at the collector show and get a lot of great deals. Not only will you find a lot of independent artists such as myself or Justin and John Narcomi or anybody else that's out there, but there's a lot of vendors there that are selling their stuff at just amazing prices. Brian, you would have like crapped yourself with the last vendor at the last show. There was a vendor there called CheapGraphicNovels.com where they sell all their stuff for 40% off. And they have complete runs of everything. Anything you want, they have. It's disgusting. We had to restrain ourselves from going up there and just buying their entire table. They have everything. I'm not shitting you. Anything you can think of, they have it. The complete collection. They have it.
Yeah, that'd be kind of bad for me, especially if I had money.
Right? They had Transmet, Powers, Why the Last Man, everything, dude. They had everything down. Preacher, full runs, Invincible, Walking Dead, everything. It was horrible. Like, we're sitting there like, oh, we want to spend all this money. But it's a great opportunity for you guys, the customers, to come on down and complete your collection. So come check it out. The last thing that we're doing tonight, hopefully I'll have this edited in time to put up. We're going to go see the midnight premiere of Predators. I've been pretty anxious for this movie to come out. I don't know about you, Brian, but I'm a huge...
Yeah, I kind of want to see it. It looks... Well, it's going to be an interesting contrast to the original Predators movie with a bunch of, you know, like, roided out meatheads.
Right.
As compared to, you know, Adrian Brody, but...
Right. But this one is actually based on one of the books. So it might be even better. This one's based on Hunter's Planet, which I don't know if anybody out there has read, but I've read the book, and it's they basically is like this planet that's for it's like a retreat for rich people, hunters, game hunters, and stuff, and they throw them on this planet, and they get to hunt whatever they've always wanted, whether it be aliens, dinosaurs, or human beings, whatever. So. It's actually based on one of the books. So I'm very excited to see it, and we're going to go see it at midnight. If you're in the Ontario, California area, come join us, man, because we'd love having big gatherings to go see these movies.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to miss that one, too.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to mention is the Help Get Brian Back to California Fund. I'm just kidding. So, yeah, we have a lot of stuff going on right now. We want to tell you we really appreciate all the fans and people that have been coming to the website. We're at 120,000 hits this month, the best month we've ever had, and it's all thanks to you guys. And we really appreciate everything that you guys, you know, you guys are supporting everything. So,
right, without our fans, we don't have anything.
Right. I mean, we're just doing it for ourselves. And don't get me wrong, we'd still do it because we're selfish like that. But it's nice to know we have fans and people that like it. What else have I got, Brian? Do you have anything?
I think we've pretty much talked everyone's ear off for long enough.
Yeah. Again, we know a lot of artists like to listen to our podcast while they're drawing and doing work. And, you know, we salute you guys. We thank you so much for allowing us to inspire you or at least keep your mind busy while you're doing this artwork. It's flattery for us.
Or even just, you know, the vendors out there that give us free comics to read for the show, or, you know, the people that stop and take time to actually sit down and talk with us.
Right. It's flattery for us, and we're completely grateful. But if you're an artist who is drawing while listening to us, send us a copy of what you're drawing. We'll put it up on the website. We think it's awesome. Whether it's related to us or not, you know, we still want to see it. Or shoot us an email. let us know that this is what you're doing. We love the feedback, people. And we need the feedback, so send it to us. AJ@ForbiddenPanel.com, Brian with a Y @ForbiddenPanel.com, or PanelCast@ForbiddenPanel.com. Just shoot us an email. Let us know what you think. Even if you don't want to post on the forums, on our website, or on the Facebook, or anything like that, we still like to hear some sort of feedback. We've designed two new websites for you guys to take a look at. For those of you who aren't fans of the forum-style website, you can go to forbiddenpanel.wordpress.com or forbiddenpanel.blogspot.com and get, you know, the basic Forbidden Panel feel there. It's a little bit more user-friendly for you guys. Forbiddenpanel.com is kind of like turned into this huge melting pot of geek news and stuff, and we understand that may be a little bit overwhelming, too much for you to weed through in order to get the whole Forbidden Panel experience. So head over to one of those two sites and check it out. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. You can find all of us. You can find Brian on Twitter, Monkey3. Find me, Draven with a Y, on Twitter. Find us
on Twitter. I'm actually level 20 monkey.
No, level 20 monkey. My bad.
Some asshole already took Monkey3. So
that asshole. Oh yeah, that was me. Anyway, we're everywhere, people. If you can find us, let us know what you think about us, one way or another. Whether you love us or you hate us, we don't care. Send it to us. Justin is currently Send me your hate. Justin is currently working on inking some of the submission, the pinup submissions. He is also currently inking the 24-hour comic book, which will be coming out soon. I know we keep saying that.
I actually got people asking me about that one.
Really?
So, yeah.
I know, like, a lot of people are expecting it, and I apologize for the hang-up. Justin does have a regular day job, so it's harder for him to get into the studio to do a lot of work. But, you know, he's trying. He's getting it out there. Issue number one will be coming out soon. All this you can expect by the end of the year. I promise you that. Here in July. I promise you in 6 months you'll have a comic book. I promise. So we keep on going. If you feel it in your heart to help us out, click on the donate button on the front page. Anything will help. 5 cents, $5, $500, a winning lottery ticket. Whatever you got, we can surely use it to help us in our printing. Yeah. So there you have it. That's all that's Forbidden Panel for us. Brian, did you have anything else you wanted to throw in there?
No, I think that pretty much is going to cover everything for now.
Awesome. Remember to check out our friends' websites. You see the banners down at the bottom of the front page. Support your local comic book artists. Go to your comic book stores and demand ZKS from them. For Brian, this is AJ, and we'll catch you guys next week. Oh, one last thing I wanted to ask. Brian, how's Geek Girls coming?
Geek Girls is a little bit to a slow start right now. One of my co-hosts is currently ill, so I'm trying not to push the issue too much until, you know, everybody's up to par.
Right.
You know, everybody's ready to go. So as soon as she's feeling better, then we'll go ahead and get production underway.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. I'm also doing my own independent podcast called AJ Side Panel. It's just random things that's on my mind that day. So if you have a chance, go check it out. 15 minutes long, 15 minutes out of your day. Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just random stuff, and there is no set schedule for it. I just toss it up whenever I get a chance to throw it up there. So keep checking the websites for that and all the gaming news and comic book news and movie news and stuff like that. So once again, for Brian, I'm AJ, and we will catch you guys at some point in time. Bye.
PanelCast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.